Good morning. It is good to be here with y'all today. Although, I never relish the idea of preaching over the smell of fried chicken. You just can't compete. But we'll give it a shot. Why don't we pray and then we'll read our Bibles together. God, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that we can come here and be inside and have heat and thank you for all the good gifts you've given us. And so now, God, as we open your word, remind us through your spirit that this is one of the best gifts you've given us, that we can read this and you speak when we read this book. And so I pray, God, that your word would be living and powerful, that you would open our hearts and draw us to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so I guess I missed the whole Merry Christmas thing, so I can't say that, but Happy New Year. Is that? We're still close enough, right? Okay, first Sunday in the year. There's something I like to do at the beginning, as the year comes to the end, or when, you know, big times of the year come. So it normally happens a couple times of the year for me, but especially at the beginning of the year, that it always happens as the new year rolls around. And I wanted to draw you in and kind of take you on a little journey with me, because this is something that is helpful for me, and maybe it will be for you as well. I like to, I know, it's a horrible way to start off the year with stupid visual aids, but, or silly visual aids, I didn't mean to use that word, but I like to look in the mirror at the beginning of the year, and I know what you're thinking, you're judging me, but just because I have a hand mirror doesn't make me vain. Yeah, maybe I like to talk to myself. I like to look at myself. We all do, right? So, okay, I like to look in a mirror at the beginning of the year, metaphorically speaking, of course. It's not, I like to do a little bit of personal inspection. I like to look at myself, and this is too close. Okay, because you see things when you look in the mirror, right? Especially a hand mirror, and it just magnifies. Oh, good night. Is that really? I'm sorry. You all have to look at it full time. You see things, every little detail. It nothing escapes you. You when you look in the mirror, you see things as they really are, and unless it's, you know, foggy, and then you wipe it off, and then you see things as they really are. You can't escape from what the mirror says back to you. So I want to take a little bit of an inventory with us today. I want us to walk down a path and ask ourselves a question. How are you? How have you been? How are you on the inside? Well, what's been going? What has God been doing in your life that is worth taking note of? Is saying, that's a good thing. That's a good improvement. You know, whenever you look in a mirror and you're like, ooh, that part is decent, that's a good moment. And then you look in the mirror, and then next to that decent thing, whatever you saw, there's the bad thing. And so what's not going as well in your life? What would you rather not think about when you think about how you're doing? So let's do that. Let's take a minute and do an honest inspection of ourselves, an inspection like in a mirror where we can't really hide from how we're doing. No, nobody else has to know, just you. You can. This happens inside of you. Fortunately, what I see when I look in the mirror, everybody else sees as well. But what we're going to see in this inspection, no one else really will see. It's just you and God and with yourself. And I think this will be helpful for us. I found it helpful for myself doing these inspections or inventories, taking these moments and saying, how am I doing? What do I really look like? Because it helps us walk closer to God, and it helps us know him better, and it helps us go down maybe the same path, but maybe a little bit of a different, a better path. It helps us live more the way God would want us to live in the days ahead. And the reason why this isn't like just at the beginning of the year kind of inspection, I do this periodically, is because you drift. Looking in the mirror once won't get you through the rest of the year, but it'll get you through, you know, a little. It'll put us on a path. And if we do this, we'll be able to look back and say, I'm glad I did that, because I walked closer with God, and I helped other people walk closer with God because I looked in the mirror and I did a little bit of an inspection. So let's think about three areas. So as we think of ourselves, this will kind of run through the whole message. So three areas. relationship with God. How close are you walking with God? How close are you to God on the inside? And then go to the outside and think about your life, okay? How in my intent to be more like Jesus, how am I doing with that? What is it looking like as it manifests itself on what's coming out of me? And the third area is discipleship. How am I investing and pouring into other people? How am I doing in the whole guiding other people closer to God? How am I doing in my relationship with God and my holiness, my life, how that's coming out of me, and then how I'm guiding other people? Think of your life in those three areas. How are you doing? What does the mirror say back? Now, as you think about that, there's a huge warning. If this were, I should have done that. I should have made this be like a warning sign on the other side of it. Then it would have been perfect visual aid. Didn't, though. So just imagine a warning sign. Hang on for a second. As we start inspecting ourselves and looking inside, it's danger. There's dangerous things ahead because it's really hard to hold up a mirror and inspect ourselves on the inside and do an inventory of how am I doing? How is my relationship with God? How am I living and how am I doing in guiding other people to know God? It's hard to do that without three big dangerous things popping up, some to bigger degree or less degree, but they're all there. One is, it's hard to inspect yourself without a little bit of pride coming in. You know, when you catch somebody looking in the mirror and they're kind of like, and then they see you. A little bit of pride creeps in when we look at ourselves. Why? Because sometimes we see stuff that's going well. We see stuff that is working out. If I compare this in my life to how it was a year ago, so much better. I'm doing pretty good. I like myself. That pride can creep in. And look at 1 Corinthians 15. I'm cheating today. I put all my verses in my notes because there's a few of them and I want to buzz through it. So 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. If you can buzz really fast, read along with me. Otherwise, jot it down and look at these verses in context when you get home. But 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10 says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me." See, the gospel removes that pride. When we look in the mirror and say, "I like what I'm seeing, I see how God has worked in me," immediately we have to say, "That was God who did that in me." So as you inspect yourself and you say, "I'm doing pretty good in this area, I'm doing better than I was in this other area." Well, it's God who did that, right? It was his grace. Anything different in us in a good way is signs of God's grace working in us. That strips away the pride. It's hard to look in the mirror without, number two, without condemnation, because I see stuff that's like, "Oh, good night." My wife took a picture of herself. I don't remember. It was last night. We were with some friends and it was somebody's birthday and pictures were being taken, and my wife took a picture. It was a selfie. She was taking a picture of us, and I think I was the one who was closer to the camera, so you know what that means, right? Those of us laughing, unfortunately, know what it means. The one closest to the camera looks the worst because you look bigger than everybody else, and I looked at the picture. I said, "Why does my nose look so big in that picture?" And my wife, wonderful person, but she said, "Well, it's because it's that big," which I guess I have a mirror. I know that, but I don't. Doesn't make me happy. When we inspect ourselves, we see stuff and we say, "Oh, that doesn't look the way it should. Did I study with anybody last year? How did that happen? A year went by." So we see things and we say, "That's not a good thing. Did I act that way? Do I still act that way?" That's why whenever I hold the mirror up, I'm quickly put it down because it's like you see stuff. I'd rather not look at that. And that's the seeds of condemnation, isn't it? And again, in the same way as with pride, when condemnation rears its head, the gospel is our answer as we look in the mirror and inspect ourselves. Because if we are in Christ, if you've repented and been baptized and given yourself to Jesus, we are not what we are. Who we are before God is not what we do. It's what Christ did. His perfect work has been placed over us. We've been made righteous. We've been made perfect in him. We've been given his righteousness so that in him we could become the righteousness of the perfection of God. Now, if you are in Christ, you are perfect before the eyes of God. because of what Jesus did, because of his perfect life, not because of your perfect life, which allows us to look in the mirror and honestly say, how am I doing in my relationship with God and in my personal walk and in my life and how I act and in guiding other people, and not feel condemnation when I say this isn't the way it should be, and that's not the way it should be, and this other thing isn't the way it should be. And another danger, it's a legalism danger. It's as we look in the mirror and we say, I need to change some stuff. Well, then the third danger that rears its head is legalism. It's, I need to change some stuff, and that'll make me a better person. Because if I do more better things, I'll be a better person. That just makes sense, doesn't it? The better I behave, the better I am. And it's the same thing that we just looked at. The gospel is our answer to that. The motivation when I look in the mirror and I say, I need to make some changes, and no one should amen right then, is because, it's not because I can become a better person in God's eyes. If I'm in Christ, I am the perfection, the righteousness of Christ in my Father's eyes. His perfect life has been put over my imperfection. I can't look any better to my Father than I am. That's not the motivation. It's not to earn his favor, his love. We are made acceptable in the beloved. But look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Look at what it says. If you read backwards, like verse 1 through 9, it's this incredible description of how God saves us and what the gospel is and what he does when he transforms us. And then look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So to do good things, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. The gospel takes away the legalism, the sense of, if I look in the mirror and if I change the stuff that's not right in my life last year and the way I am right now, maybe if I'm better this year, God will be happier with me, he'll love me more, and I'll be better in his eyes. No, I won't, because I'm the perfection of Christ, because I'm in Christ. But I am in Christ, created in Christ to do good works. So God made this for me. He put his spirit inside of me to guide me into all righteousness so that I would become more and more like Jesus. That's the purpose. That's what he's made us for, is to become more and more like him and to reflect him better to those around us and guide other people towards him. I'm just living out my destiny in Christ when I try to become more and more like him. That's not legalism. It's filling out the gospel call to be like Jesus. So if it's so dangerous to look in the mirror and inspect ourselves, to do this inventory, why would we do this? Well, I want to give you some biblical reasons why we should regularly take a moment like today and look in the mirror and inspect ourselves. And what I want to say, that the idea that I want to put out there, and then I want to back it up with some different scriptures, is that we have to do this. We have to take inventory. We have to take stock of ourselves. Where am I at with God? We have to stop and pause and inspect ourselves. We have to do that once in a while. We have to do it. Well, one reason, and this could be the only reason, because God commands us to. God commands his children to look in the mirror and take an inspection of how they're doing and where they're at. Look at 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. If you only write down one verse, write down this one. And remember it every couple of months. Because this is a good one. This is, examine yourselves. There it is, right? Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Christ Jesus is in you unless you fail to meet the test? Paul says, look at yourself, examine yourself, test yourself. I should look in the mirror and say, how am I doing? Because God tells me to. There's a larger context there, but that idea is within that context. Another reason why I we're supposed to take stock of ourselves occasionally is because, well, God already knows. It's not like we're going to discover something new. When I look in the mirror and I say, how am I doing in my relationship with God? And I see some things that are not what they should be. It's not like it's a surprise to anyone, probably not even to myself. It's not like I'm discovering something new. When I look in the mirror and go, ooh, you don't say, I can't believe that. No, you've seen it all along, right? When we look at ourselves, when we inspect ourselves, we're only seeing what God sees about us all the time. God knows us. Look at Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10. See, when I don't inspect myself,
when I don't look in the mirror, I can pretend that I'm much better than I am. And we fall in the weekly routine of living our life and coming to church, and we just, it's a routine. And so we have to take moments to step back and say, how am I really doing? And all we're doing in that moment is just seeing what God sees all the time. Jeremiah 17, verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. He searches the heart. He tests the mind. He knows us. He knows us. And when we look in the mirror and we take an inventory and we stop and say, how am I really doing my relationship with God? How is my life really reflecting Jesus? Am I changing? It's by the illumination of the Spirit that God shows us that. He's only showing us what he already sees, because he searches our hearts. And he doesn't also know us. He takes an inventory of us. Look at John 15, verse 1. God takes an inventory of us. He inspects us. Listen to this. I am the true vine. That's Jesus speaking. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it may bear more fruit. In verse 2, look at all the inspection that goes on, all the fruit inspection that goes on. Who's doing that? It's God. God says, Jesus says, if you don't bear fruit, then God will take you away. Well, how does God know that you're not bearing fruit? He inspects us. God inspects his children. He looks us over. He does an inventory of us. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. So God inspects us and says, you are bearing fruit. So I'm going to prune you. I'm going to trim back some extra stuff in your life. It's going to feel painful. You're not going to like it, but you're going to bear more fruit. Well, who's measuring the more fruit? God looks at us and he inspects us. He takes count and stock of where we're at. So if God's doing that in me, wouldn't it be in my best interest to do that myself, to step back and say, God, would you show me what you're seeing in me? Would you show me how I really am, not just the way I look on Sundays? Show me who's really inside of me. And then it continues, and this is another reason to inspect ourselves, because it's going to say what we see are our fruits. They're the results. They're the product of our relationship with God. Whatever we see when we look in the mirror and we inspect ourselves, it's just a product of how we actually are doing with God and what a relationship with God looks like. Look at verse 3, continuing there. Let me find it myself. Already you are clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Again, there's measurement going on. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, listen, so that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. It's woven into here two things. One, it's the gospel again. It's what we saw as we looked over the dangers of examining ourselves. It's the gospel. It's the answer to those dangers. It's you're in me and you're clean. I'm not asking you to every day wake up and say, am I a Christian or am I not a Christian? That's not what he's saying. He's saying you're in me and you're clean because you're in me. But if you're in me, you will bear fruit. There'll be signs in your life that you are in me, that you're progressing. It's like if your child is going to school and they're doing well, there'll be signs that they're doing well, right? There'll be fruit that comes from that. There'll be mental development, and there'll be things written on pieces of paper given to you by teachers that say they're doing well because there's fruit that happens when things are happening on the inside. Stuff comes out on the outside. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, listen, inspect yourselves. This would be a reason to inspect yourself. He's not saying here to inspect yourself, but he says, I inspect you. The Father inspects you. And your fruit, what he's looking at, is a symptom. It's a sign of what's going on the inside, of how you're doing in your relationship with God. That's why we should inspect ourselves, because what we see in the mirror when we look at ourselves, it just tells us how we're doing with God. It tells us, it gives us an idea of our state with him. And then the last reason. I almost left this off because I said it was because the verse that we're going to read is a pretty long section. But now there's time on the clock, so we have to do it. That's not the reason I wanted to leave it off. It's because this is the most sombering one to me. It's not just that God knows what's in me, and he sees, and he does inspect me. It's not that he tells me to inspect myself. I should inspect myself because someday I'm going to be standing before God, and there will be an inspection. A big old mirror will be held up, and he'll say, This was it. This is not a moment in time inspection. This is your whole life inspection. This is the fruit from your walk with me. It's going to be held up in front of me. And if that's the case, they say, wow, if I'm going to be in that moment, I can't go back and change anything. But if I inspect myself today and I see what I should change and what should be different in my life going forward, as of this moment, I have time to change that. I have time to progress. I have time to prepare for that moment. So look at Matthew chapter 25. We're going to start in verse 14. A sober story that Jesus tells. And it's just a light metaphor on what's going to happen at the end of time. For it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went away. He would receive the 5 talents, went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he had the 2 talents, made 2 talents more. But he would receive the 1 talent, went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. And after a long time, the master of these servants came and settled accounts with them. And he would receive the 5 talents, came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, I have delivered to you. You delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much more. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I've made 2 talents more. And his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much more. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful, lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I scatter no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent away from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We should inspect ourselves. We should look in the mirror. We should do it personal inventory, a regular basis, because there's going to be a time when we stand before God, and he's going to do that. And then it'll be an inspection from which we can't go back and change anything. And in this moment, we can change. We can correct our course. We can set our course a little more straight. We can become a little bit more like Jesus in the months ahead than we were in the months previous. We can do that if we inspect ourselves. So, given that, let's do the inspection. Let's hold up the mirror and look inside of us. Three areas to look at. I touched on them at the beginning, but think more deeply about them now. Think about them in relation to yourself. One is your walk with God. That's your relationship with God. It's being close to God. It's knowing him. It's being his friend. It's living closely in his presence. It's making the decision to follow him, repent and be baptized, and spending time with God, listening to his voice, listening to the guidance of the Spirit, listening to his guidance in the Word, talking with him, meditating on the Word and what we read. It's singing to him and praying with him. It's you and I living closely with God. That's one area. Another area is our holiness. I know these are interconnected, but for the sake of going down a list, just let me separate them out. Second one is our holiness. It's being more and more like Jesus. It's doing things. It's the stuff we do, the actions we take. It's helping other people and then being selfish and working with enthusiasm. It's the words we say. It's gossip and lying and being critical and negative and complaining. It's the thoughts that we think. It's the pure or impure things that go through our mind, the things that we ponder on and It's meditating in the Word. It's thinking about negative things. It's emotions. That's the root of it in our hearts. It's what we feel. It's anger and depression and bitterness and jealousy and envy. It's peace and joy and being content and happy and thankful. That's the second area. It's me and God and how I'm living. And then three, it's guiding other people to Jesus. It's investing in people, in specific people, praying for them regularly, and developing friendships with them, asking them to study. I was talking to my boys last night and kind of walking them through this process with one of their friends, and there's the friendship, and they pray for this guy and this kid and one of their friends, and we were talking last night about, okay, at some point, you know, God will open a door, and you have to follow the leading of the Spirit, but you have to ask him to study. You have to talk to him about his relationship with God. You have to have those conversations. So it's discipleship and holiness and my relationship with God. Those are the three areas. And there's three questions, too, to ask ourselves. So the first one is, when I look in the mirror, the best question to start with is, where do I see God's working in me? Where do I see in those areas that God, I look back over the last, I can't remember the last year, but maybe the last couple of months, I need to look backwards and say, what do I see? Where do I see evidences of God's grace, God working in me and changing me, the Holy Spirit sanctifying me, drawing me closer to him? And where, how is my personal relationship with God, my closeness to him, how is that different in a good way than it has been in the past? Where do I see God working in me? Why would we start with that question? Because, well, there's biblical precedent. You look at 1 Corinthians. Paul's going to unleash a letter of strong exhortation and rebuke on some people. And look at sometime how he starts 1 Corinthians. I see God at work in you. That's a summary of the first several verses of that letter. I see God at work in you. He affirms evidences of God's grace. So before I hold up the mirror and go, oh my goodness, so much to change, you say, well, where is God working in me? How am I closer to him? My personal life, the second area. What is different in me than it was before? Like in the last 12 months, how do I see God changing me? Because if you have the Holy Spirit and you've been listening to him and he's been working in you, you are being sanctified. He's changed. You're becoming more holy. Sometimes we don't see it because it's a gradual process. And so look back and say, how am I different? What habits and feelings and thoughts and attitudes and how am I different in a good way than I was before? And what have I, this year, what have I done? How have I been, how's God drawn me into leading and discipling and guiding other people? Where do I see God working in me? That's the first question. Answer that question. Think about that. And when when the Spirit brings things to your mind and you say, I do see God working in me. How do we react? What was our response? Isn't it thankfulness? And you have been working in me. And if I didn't take this moment to realize that, I wouldn't have seen it. But you are. I see your Spirit working in me and changing me. I thank you. And now question number two. What's not right in my life? And this is where I the one who Jesus said will convict the world of sin and unbelief. And I believe that this is where God, through his Spirit, makes it. The metaphor that came to mind was plain as the nose on our face, which, given what I said earlier, probably not I'm bullying myself now. It's just not nice. I think the Holy Spirit makes it plain to us when we ask that question, we think about my relationship with God, the closeness of my walk with him, how I'm living and how I'm treating people around me and how I feel when I turn out the light and I'm by myself and what my feelings or my emotions are, what drives me the rest of my life and how I'm doing with guiding other people. When I think about those three areas, my experience has been that God rapidly just tells me, he makes me see things in my life. This is not, and this isn't, and this isn't. And I don't like to think about this because I get a list and I have a spreadsheet. I'm different anyway, whole other thing. because God shows us through His Spirit, this is what you need to change. This is what you need to do. Walk closer with me and do this, and you'll walk closer with me and be more like Jesus. Do this specifically, and you'll be more like Him and guide somebody. And this is the person, and this is what you need to do. And He shows us. So if you're not feeling that right now, if God's not guiding you as you're thinking about that, well, ask Him to. Say, reveal my heart to me. Show me what you want to change in me. My experience is that is a prayer that He always answers, and normally before it gets out of our lips. And if you don't get the answer right away, battle in prayer. Pray all day, pray all week. Say, God, show me. What is it? What is it? What do you want me to change? Well, how can I be more like you? How can I be closer to you? How can I help other people be closer to you? And then that brings us to our application. That we end, you know, what do I do? What should I do with all of this? We've been doing it. This is a working message, but at the end, there is an application. It's the third question. It's what do I need to do? How can I go forward? How can I show more fruit in my life going forward? Now that I've looked in the mirror, what can I change? What can be better? Isn't that the point of this? It's expecting ourselves is to be more like Jesus and to do something. It's not just to look in the mirror and say, I could do that. It's to do it. Look at one more verse with me. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings to us. And again, inherent is in that part is an inspection. Even in Hebrews 12:1, there's an inspection inherent to that. Because how do you know what to lay aside? How do you know what the weights are in your life and the sin that clings to you? How do I know that? It's because I look inside and God through His Spirit shows me. So we inspect ourselves and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne God. So respect ourselves, and we end with saying, What do I need to change? What do you need to change? What do I need to change? And if you hear this morning and you say, I'm not a Christian, and you know you're not a Christian, and you say, so what do I do? Do I try to get each area of my life better? Or no, because as you inspect yourself, the big takeaway for you as you hold up the mirror is you see I'm outside of Christ. I'm not God's child. I haven't made my own decision to repent and be baptized, and I'm not in Christ. So that means I'm outside of Him. That's the only thing that should be on your to-do list. As you say, I need to get closer to God. Well, the thing to do is to become His child and let Him adopt you into His family. It's to give yourself to Him, to repent and be baptized and make the decision that Jesus will be your Savior and Lord. And as you come into His family, then there's peace and there's security like you've never known. And then His Spirit takes up residence in you. And then the next time you do an inspection, He'll show you other stuff. But the thing, if you're not in Christ, the thing to course correct is enter into Christ. And if you hold up the mirror this morning and you say, that's me, I'm outside of Christ. And if by God's grace you say, I want to be in Christ, then tell someone. And you can repent and be baptized. You can become God's child. If you hold up the mirror and you say, that's me, I'm not in Christ, and you don't have any desire, you say, I'm not, and I don't know, I don't want it, I'm not ready, I don't want to do that. That's not for me, not today. I didn't bring any clothes. I can get wet anyway, so it's okay. We'll just wait a little bit. If there's no desire in you, then what would I say to you? What should you do? What could you do? Don't get baptized, because you're not making the decision to follow Jesus. You're just doing something. No, talk to God. Say, please make me come to the point where I am totally ready to surrender to you. Make me want to do that. Make me want to surrender. Because if you say I'm not ready to make that decision, it's because you're not ready to surrender. And if you're not ready to surrender, the only one who can change your heart is God. So come to Him and say, please make me want to surrender to you. And that's a prayer that He answers. And when He does, when He draws you to you, when you say, I'm ready, and repent and be baptized and give yourself to Him. If you're a Christian, you say, yeah, so what do? I've looked in the mirror. By God's grace, the Spirit has told me a couple of things. I see some stuff. Some stuff I need to change. stuff God's doing in my life. I'm thankful for that, but there's some stuff I need to change. What do you change? How do you do? What does that look like for you? What is God telling you that you need to change and do different and to walk more closely with him, to live more like Jesus and to guide other people towards him? What do you need to change? And if you're drawing a blank, spend more time in prayer. Talk to him. And again, his spirit will work on our hearts and he'll tell us. Let it be a process. It doesn't have to be a half an hour, which is up. So why don't we stand? We'll pray together and then we'll sing. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good. Thank you because you graciously give us moments where we can stand before you and ask you, what do you want me to change? God, I pray that you would be gracious with us and give us the eyes to see what you see. Not just about our actual state and where we're at, but to see what you see that we could be. And that you would make us be drawn to be the person that you would have us be in Christ. And that you would give us the strength to make the changes that you ask us to make. And that because of that, we would experience a deeper connection with you. That we would know you better, that we would reflect you better, that we would help other people know you. And that the next few months and the next year would be extremely profitable as you produce fruits in us because of our connection with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.